From Jimmy Fallon, in January, Atlantic City is blowing up a former Trump casino, and the highest bidder in a live auction will be the one to press the button. I say we hold Biden's inauguration in Atlantic City and then let him push the button. Kimmel said we should chip in and get this for Hillary Clinton, right? Fallon, you know, 2 seconds before they do it, Eric Trump's going to wander out of the front door like, is the event not inside? Kimmel, of course, the easiest way to make a Trump casino implode is just to put Trump back in charge of running it again. That's so good. Hey, J.L. Covan had a lot of fame this year with his President Trump impressions on Twitter. NewJersey.com caught up with him. J.L. is, in certain ways, very tired of doing the voice and the character. He's hoping to develop a sketch comedy pilot, among other projects, after Trump leaves the White House. Covan voted for President-elect Joe Biden, makes no secret of his disdain for Trump, saying, as much as I respect Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. When he goes low, I go lower than him, to whoever I'm comfortable to point out his failings and stupidity and to be somewhat vicious when I can be. His Trump impersonation is not even remotely flattering, but sometimes Trump supporters misinterpret it as a compliment. He says he was invited to a pro-Trump fundraiser in Idaho and said, unless I can go with Sacha Baron Cohen level security, I'm not going to that event. He does want to avoid being typecast for his Trump act. With comedy, I find people want to box you in, but he acknowledges some fans probably can't tell that I'm funny beyond Trump. He's hoping to self-produce or develop a sketch comedy pilot and do an hour-long stand-up comedy special. If either of those get picked up or appeal to my fans, that's great. And a dream of being added to Saturday Night Live is a nice thought, but more of a lottery ticket hope for him. Netflix has bought Ricky Gervais's next TV show, even though he doesn't even know what it is yet. Ricky said, I've got it down to three totally different ideas. Netflix has already bought it. I told them I want to end Afterlife now. And so they said, okay, we want the next thing. We'll just start with the next thing. Same deal. But I don't even know which one I'm going to go for. I can't even think about it yet. I have the outline of three completely different sorts of sitcoms and shows. One of them is a sitcom. One is probably more sitcom-y than anything I've ever done. I can't tell you anything about it in case someone rips it off. I don't know what to do because, again, it'll be 3 years of my life. And then you go, oh, I wish I did the other thing. The Interrobang has published their 11 best comedy albums of 2020. I've told you about the Interrobang. That is a comedy site for, as I've been describing it, people that are at Caroline's on Tuesday. Like, this is, you're like really into comedy. Like really, really, really into comedy. These guys do a good job. They know their stuff. Here is their list. They have at number 11, Adrian Iapolucci's Baby Skeletons, which comes out like today or tomorrow. They wrote, Baby Skeletons is not out yet, so none of you have heard it. But we have the good news. It'll be available, so hurry up and pre-order. This album is insanely funny. It's also dark, really dark. It's, holy cow, did she just say that dark? Now, these aren't really ranked. They're more looking for you to vote. But the next one they have is Andy Kindler's Hence the Humor. Kindler is like, I guess, a comedian's comedian. He does the state of the comedy industry thing up at Montreal every year. He's never really broken through mainstream, and he's not as young as he once was. So I don't know. It's a stand-up event 3 decades in the making, says the Interrobang. Andy Kindler has never released a stand-up album, and now after 28 years in the business, finally you can buy yourself some Kindler stand-up audio. The undisputed king of self-depreciation, whether he's roasting his contemporaries or derailing his own train of thought to obsess on some microsyllable or better yet, the audience reaction, Kindler keeps winding himself up only to unravel again moments later. Bonnie McFarlane's Bird Calls is on the list. They say she starts strong right from the top, I hope so, and then the album builds and builds straight forward to the end, getting better with every track. Vic Henley's Hell is Real. I forgot Vic put an album out this year. Vic passed away about a month after this album was released. You know, in some ways that spotlighted his work, but yeah, it just cut short a really great career. I worked with Vic a couple times. Very funny. Vic Henley, Hell is Real. Check that out. Dan Perlman's Emergency Contact. Now, I'm straight with you guys. I don't know every single thing about comedy, and this was a little off my radar as well. The Interrobang says every joke lands on this album, and Perlman's somewhat pessimistic point of view provides for laugh after laughter after laugh. Perlman has some great, if somewhat unorthodox, thoughts for how to live your best life in 2020. We've only got like two more news for that. His ideas for how to improve his mother's dating life and how kids should be named are oddly practical, in addition to being really, really funny. Next up is Dwayne Kennedy's album called Who the Hell is Dwayne Kennedy? That is a funny title for an album. When you have incredible talents like W. Kamau Bell and Hari Kondabolu backing your album, you better bring heat, and Kennedy does. I found out how to pronounce her name, Sarah Tolomash. I learned that from Stephen Colbert, who I assume got it right when she was on his show. Her album's called Voluptuous Boy. recorded at New York Comedy Club just days before COVID shut down all the comedy clubs. She talks about all her concerns and problems, and there are many. Mike Kaplan's album, a.k.a. I like Mike a lot. He's been below the radar for, a decade now. It's good to see him start to get some love in the mainstream. You should definitely check out Mike Kaplan. I'm a fan. Nora Davis is live from the Comedy Trap House, recorded on Zoom just a week after George Floyd was murdered. He covers everything 2020 from trans rights to Black Lives Matter and the COVID-related lockdown. Carmen Lynch, vertically obese. This is a random description. She's a regular at the best comedy clubs in New York. She kills in Spain and at festivals like Edinburgh. Okay. Carmen is a total package and exudes the kind of confidence allows her to take her comedy to some dark places. And a good review here for Mike Cannon. His album's called Life Begins. The Interrobang says, in case you haven't been paying attention, Mike Cannon has become one of New York's beloved young up-and-comers. His two album taping shows at the Village Underground sold out, and you can practically feel the excitement of this crowd right through your headphones. Life Begins is an album that was also filmed and released with some pretty cool extras that were filmed mockumentary style with interviews and cameos from some of New York's best comics. This is a transition album for Mike, a concept album about new chapters, being a father, being an adult, and growing into a new phase of his career where he's no longer the new young kid, but a legitimate part of the scene. He's only 34, blah, 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 blah. Mike Cannon, Life Begins. Jeff Schaefer is the showrunner on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He spoke with The Hollywood Reporter saying, we started writing Curb before COVID, and then when COVID happened, we had to change some things. We had to make the decision about what era we were writing, before, during, or after COVID, and the real factor was when we would be premiering. We figured would come out in the fall of 2021, and we didn't want to be writing in March of 2020, trying to figure out what that would be like. So we made the decision to set the new season in a post-COVID world. COVID definitely happened, and we definitely talk about it, but we were assuming that Biden would win and things would be better by the fall of 21. COVID's in the rearview mirror, but it happened, and Larry, the character, has opinions on all of it. I can't tell you which characters got COVID, but I can definitely tell you that we do examine people's behavior during the COVID era. The fact that Larry's back on set is a tribute to classic writer syndrome. We already wrote the season. We did the hard part, so we said, let's do the fun part. If we hadn't already written the season, there's no way we would have done it. But we don't want to sit in these scripts for even longer, so it became a question of how do we do this in the safest way possible. For Curb, our protocol is just above and beyond what is required. We created a zone bubble. Then we need to figure out how big is the bubble. It's not just the actors and the people around the actors. It's the person who's driving the Zone A transportation van, the one PA who's allowed to go in an actor's trailer. People in the bubble get tested every day with PCR tests. We get the results back in 8 to 12 hours. So some reviews from me of what I've been watching on TV lately that will answer your question, what comedy to watch on Netflix. I'll tell you that in a second. I did check out a few things. One, I watched Andrew Schultz, and I made it a minute and 4 seconds. I hated it. I get that people like him. I have nothing against him. I hated it. A minute 4 I lasted. Then, over the weekend, I listened to him guest on Tim Dillon's podcast. I love Tim Dillon's podcast, even though I feel like someday Tim's going to get in trouble and I'm going to have to disavow that I ever said that I like the podcast. But in the meantime, Tim Dillon's podcast is lots of fun. Andrew was the guest, and he was fantastic. So I'm like, I will give this another try. So I tried episode 4 of Andrew Schultz's little special there on Netflix. 31 seconds I made it, and 14 of that was the intro. 31 seconds. Not for me. You can watch it. It's fine. I checked out Death to 2020. At first, I had written here in my notes that it was not bad. I started to watch it on Sunday before football, and it was like, okay, when I was in like 12:45 in the afternoon mode. By the way, Kamal Nanjiani got really old looking. He's 42 years old. If you see him in the special, I don't know what happened. I mean, he looks distinguished and handsome, but he does not look like maybe the babyface character he's played in the past. He looks like a man, but just looked older. So then the football came on. I watched football for 7 hours, and I went back to Death to 2020 on Netflix. And there was a pee-pee hole joke, and it just lost me. Like, it was just terrible. Pee-pee hole is never funny. Maybe if you're 3. It's funny. It's not even funny when you're 6. And I just bailed on the whole thing. I've checked with some friends whose tastes I respect a lot, and they agree the writing was really bad on that. So Death to 2020, thumbs down. So if you're looking for something to watch, now the Brits are going to be like, yeah, we know. But you Americans don't know. Watch, just take a bet on me that I know what I'm talking about. Watch The It Crowd on Netflix. Just watch it. And if you don't get into the first episode, skip to the last episode of season 1, watch that, and then the first episode of season two. This is one of those sitcoms that takes like two, maybe three episodes to hit its groove. But boy, once it hits its groove, the It Crowd is amazing. You'll find that on Netflix. That is my review for you to watch that for sure. And last night, Sir Billy Connolly marked the end of his stand-up comedy career with a TV special. He is retiring because of his Parkinson's disease. He says, since the Parkinson's diagnosis, I'm still the same in many ways, but I don't think as sharply as I need to be a stand-up. I've done 50 years and that's plenty. Quitting is the right thing to do. I achieved everything I wanted, played everywhere I wanted. I did it all. That's your comedy news for today. You can follow the podcast on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Overcast or wherever you found the show. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.